The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are listening to the PBD cast with John Orlando. Soak it up, suckers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I'm your humble host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 182. As the title indicates, it's the Royal Rumble Review Show. And now, for new listeners who may not be familiar with this setup, the WWE has four big pay-per-views every year. And I know some of you are probably going, wait, there's a pay-per-view like every month. Sometimes there's two pay-per-views a month. Right. But I'm talking about the four that have the longest lineage, and of course, I should name them Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. And so, because they have such history behind them, they're looked at as being a little bit a cut above all the other pay-per-views. And so, whenever one of those rolls around, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand come on to preview the event, and then to kind of review the event. So, on this episode, we're going to talk about who won, who lost, what we thought about the pay-per-view overall, what we thought about some of the matches, what we liked, what we didn't like. We'll even talk about where some of these storylines have been going now, because it's been almost 2 weeks since the Royal Rumble occurred, and they're already setting in motion a few things for WrestleMania, because as I like to tell you, the Royal Rumble starts the road, starts the journey to WrestleMania, and they certainly have some interesting things happening here. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to waste much time because I want to get on into it. But I'd like to mention one more time that the PVD cast has a brand new sponsor. So this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. The shop is located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have everything that you need for your geekdom. That's right. They have single issue comic books. They have trade paperbacks, they have graphic novels, they have collectibles, they have action figures, they have Funko Pops, they have comic book supplies. In fact, I was just down there this weekend and picked up some new comic book bags for my collection. Yeah, because I'm running short. So anyway, stop on by, say hello to Jeff and all the fine folks down there at World's Greatest Comics. Once again, it's at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville. You can also check them out online at wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook, facebook.com/wgcomics. And I'd like to thank them for their support and being a new sponsor here for the PVD cast. And with that, I'm going to throw this episode to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and I dissect and analyze what went on at the Royal Rumble. All right, gentlemen, DJ Joey Blaze.
Hello.
How are you?
Lighter.
Yeah, I've been reading some of your tweets and posts and whatnot.
Yeah.
You're on a new routine, a regiment, if you will.
Lost over 30 pounds on Whole 30 in the month of January.
That's bravo, bravo, man, yeah. Bravo.
Some people say 15 of it was my beard, but we did shave that back. I don't want to look like Daniel Bryan's intellectual friend.
Or Julian Edelman.
Yeah, Edelman's got a hell of a beard, too. That thing is...
Hall of Fame?
Huh?
Hall of Fame? Let's start right off.
No.
Is Edelman a Hall of Famer?
No. Postseason Hall of Fame, regular season average.
That's crazy. Wes Welker won't be in the Hall of Fame either, will he?
No.
He was, like 80 catches short of 1,000. Something like that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think Edelman's Hall of Fame. I'd put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you put in some of the guys, like... That's a whole episode. I would love to talk a little bit extra sports one day, to be honest with you.
All right.
Especially when the NFL Hall of Fame comes up, because some of those guys, and you're talking about offensive linemen that should have been in that didn't make it, there's not a stat for them and whatever.
Unfortunate.
And I'm also excited to talk about the WWE Hall of Fame here soon, too. So
there you go. Ringside Rand joining
feeling
us.
Feeling nostalgic. Sorry.
There you go. There you go. Today. All right. Ringside Rand, how are you?
Hello, ladies.
Oh, my.
Do we actually have women that listen to this? That's a thing. Like, if they did, I think they just hit stop.
We're trying to find some.
Oh, we're trying to appeal to the female demographic. Yes. Is that why you are just wearing a thong in here today?
It is rather warm.
Okay. He did seem to crank the heat up here.
Hey, well, you know.
Because he knew I was trying to lose weight, so I'm trying to do that amateur wrestler gimmick in here.
Oh, well, hey, man, I learned from the best from watching Vern Gagne, you know, in The Wrestler this past weekend. So there you go.
Speaking of wrestlers, got a new listener. Said he really liked the last episode. Chris Ledbetter, known as Sergeant Ledbetter in LSC Wrestling, based out of the Cincy area, around that area.
All right.
He checked out the last podcast about the Rumble, said he really enjoyed it.
So well, Chris, thank you very much for checking it out.
Sergeant Ledbetter.
Tell your friends.
Yeah. Thanks very much for listening. Appreciate it. Well, here's what we're going to do is we're going to recap what happened just about 2 weeks ago at the Royal Rumble and probably even talk about some of the storylines that have spun out from the action that went there.
Spun out's a good word to speak about some of these storylines. Let's be honest.
Now, I will confess that I did not see this match, so I'm assuming it happened very first on the pre-show. I don't even remember it being talked about, but according to my results that I pulled from Wikipedia, the first match was Bobby Roode and Chad Gable defeating Scott Dawson and Razor.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I missed because the pre-show started at 2:30 in the afternoon, it seemed like. Right around the time MCL was hopping, I think. I didn't catch it either. I thought that sounded pretty much stupid.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to put that, right. With their whole angle for it and everything.
Because had Dawson and Razor won, both the Revival and AOP would receive a future Raw Tag Team Championship match. That makes no sense. Why not just make it a three-way dance? Like, what the hell are you doing?
Were there injuries?
Yeah.
Is there injuries?
The half of AOP's injured.
Okay. All right. Rock'em.
Rack'em. Whatever. What's that?
Billiards. That's a billiards reference.
Jim Rome. Rack'em.
Yeah.
I got wrecked on Jim Rome once.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Did you fight Jim Rome, too?
No, but I called him Chris Everett.
Younger listeners, you can YouTube that reference, okay? Anyways, so Roode and Gable get the victory over Dawson and Razor. I didn't see it, so I can't say anything about it, Rand. Did you see it?
I'm going to throw an editorial note in right now. Okay. I don't need 5 and 6 hour pay-per-views.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. Listen, I agree. That is my biggest gripe. First of all, people have to work in the morning. So going till midnight... And then, in the case of me, having
going a little longer, woo!
Thanks, Ric Flair. And then having to drive home. And the other thing is this: if your market, your key demographic is supposed to be kids,
yes,
they got to go to school the next morning. So what the hell are you doing, going all the way towards till midnight?
I thought part of the reason they moved up to 7 p.m.
right
was so that they could finish 10:30, 11
yes.
at the latest.
Yes.
I realize they don't have, once again, the cable company restrictions of the 7 to...
Yeah, whatever. They bought that chunk of time, yeah.
Yeah, I watched on delay, and I was kind of surprised. I was like, we still have X amount of matches. This sucker's really long. And I totally agree. I think that's part of their problem is they're trying to do too much.
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff was too long and added too many things, stuff that they probably could have put in the pre-show maybe instead of... Adding stuff like the match we just spoke about.
Yeah, exactly. There was no need for that match.
So
I don't know. They got to tighten it up, because I just feel like, and I feel like it's bleeding over even to the non-essential pay-per-views as well.
Well, now. I feel like WrestleMania is going to start on Saturday night this year.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest with you, because yeah. they're fitting all this stuff.
There might be a match at the Hall of Fame. Guys, we are sure they're getting into the Hall of Fame. If you win this match, you're in the Hall of Fame.
That makes sense.
That kind of sounds like a Russo-ism right there, if you will.
A ticket to the Hall of Fame on a pole match.
Held by Dominic Mysterio. goodness. All
right. Our next match then is Shinsuke Nakamura defeating Rusev, where in which Rusev accidentally collided with Lana. She fell down, broken ankle, hurt ankle, whatever, and that leads to the pin. I thought this match was lackluster, to be honest with you.
And to me, it doesn't make sense with the direction it went after the show.
Yeah, because
two heels who later joined up.
Yeah, but here's the thing:
as teammates,
Rusev was babying it way up, and then all of a sudden, he wants to turn heel for that reason. It doesn't make sense. Rusev Day's still over; people still chant it. I don't understand once again what they're doing, even though they have placed ads for writers, which I brought to some people's attention with WWE, and it's obvious why, because that angle was terrible.
Yeah, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, again, I know that, you know, throughout the history of professional wrestling, there's been illogical turns, you know, like Nikita Koloff's turn, just because Magnum TA got hurt in a car accident. Oh, now he's a face. I know there's been, like, all those wacky ones, but it seems that they're switching people all the time now, and it just dilutes what they're trying to do. I totally agree. Nakamura and Rusev should not be a tag team now. I mean, logically speaking, they shouldn't be. And worst of all, last night they beat Anderson and Gallows, who have been a team for like 8 years.
throughout
the world.
Throughout the world, correct.
Yeah, like, I totally agree with that. Yeah, it's just something that really, it doesn't make sense. It's so funny. I don't know if you guys have caught any of the Edge and Christian show.
I have not yet.
It's hilarious. One of their spoofs this past week, it was a great show, especially the end. But one of the spoofs this week was as the Big Show turns. And he got into it, and he had a conversation with women, and he's a face talking to Edge, and he's a heel talking to Christian. It was hilarious, because they're making fun of it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a little bit out of hand. And when we get talking about the Rumble, there's a huge one that did make sense that they just did out of nowhere. We'll talk about that, too.
Well, I think it's important that we leave logic out of wrestling.
You're true. Very true.
Well, I know. I've lost a lot of money at your house in the past.
For those of you who don't know, anytime you make a logical statement watching wrestling, you have to put a dollar in the bin. I've made house payments.
Yeah. And you live in the Golden Ghetto, so that house payment is very high.
Bon vivant.
Fatal 4-way match for the Cruiserweight Championship. Buddy Murphy defeated Itami, Kalisto, and Tozawa. I'll be honest, I missed a little bit of this because food came. You know, the pizza came, so there was a little bit of that. So, but from what I saw, especially towards the end, you know, Murphy picks up the victory clean, pinning Hideo.
By the way, he said pizza came. If anybody out there or any pizza place would like to sponsor the PVD cast,
there you go.
Sure, we'd love to have you part. We'd love to name drop that pizza right there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How delicious that pizza could have been. It could have been your pizza joint. back to the match. Very surprising. Like, but it makes sense now because after the Smith fallout from this, Hideo Itami gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he can use his real name. He doesn't have to be a partial ripoff of Hideo Nomo.
Specifically just for Rand, wasn't it?
Like they literally, I think they go through and they go through baseball cards and they cut out names. So let's get all the Asian baseball players, Japanese, and they cut out the names and they pick them out of a hat for the first and last name for some of these people. Anyway. So obviously he's gone, and Tozawa will never have it. And then, it just kind of, you know, makes sense all around the board. But I just don't understand why they're making Buddy Murphy look so strong right now.
I don't know. That's a good point. And Kalisto's back with Lucha House Party on Raw.
Well, we've already spoke about that.
Yes, we're not
Raw gonna... or they're 205 Live. This is getting ridiculous.
This is. Rand, any thoughts on that Cruiserweight title match?
You mocked me, but I got Buddy Murphy right.
He did. He did.
I keep wanting to say Buddy Ryan. Do you find yourself, is that like an age thing?
I'm fine.
You don't have any problem with that?
Yep.
I keep wanting to say Buddy Ryan. I don't know. Which would have been great to see them dig up the corpse of Buddy Ryan, reanimate him,
and
put him in a match.
There you go. That would have been great. you know, speaking real quick, I do, mixing in football with wrestling, I did appreciate a lot of the tweets on Monday that kind of poked fun at both NXT and the Super Bowl. Like, for an example, the one, and I don't know who put it out there, but I remember reading, yeah, so what? Can Tom Brady kick out of the Black Mass? Which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought that was very good. And there was many others just like that that were kind of mixing together.
Other than the 4 years Tom Brady spent at the University of Michigan, he's got a pretty damn good life going.
Yeah, he does.
He married well.
He's got two kids.
He's been successful. He also had a child with Bridget Moynihan.
Well, that's what I'm counting. So is there more than two? How many did he have with Ginzel? I thought he only had one.
And he wears Uggs. So
all the way to the bank.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to the WWE Women's SmackDown Championship match. Asuka defeated Becky Lynch by submission.
What in the actual beep? I mean, come on. You're going to it makes her look weak. She taps out to Asuka, then all of a sudden she's going to beat Ronda Rousey? Are you freaking kidding me? Like, that didn't make sense. I'd have had a schmoz ending with Asuka going over, but having Becky tap out, it just didn't make sense, especially with where they've gone aft post-Rumble with Asuka's character. They should be building off of that. She beat the person that's going to be facing Ronda Rousey. And they're not. And
they're not doing anything with Asuka. No. I haven't seen her on TV.
They gave her like a little vignette.
Oh,
like,
that's right. Yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But Becky Lynch has now kicked off four or five SmackDowns in a row. She did it again last night with Charlotte.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think that obviously we see where Becky Lynch was going to fit into the puzzle later in the show.
At the time, I was really shocked.
Yeah, exactly. At the time, I was really blown away. Yeah.
She has to win along the way to be built up.
Right. And, it was shocking. But then why have we not seen anything with Asuka on TV since? That's the thing. Like, that should be a big deal. Asuka should be bragging like crazy that...
And then you have somebody step up to try to say, well, okay, can you beat me? And there you go. There's your instant program that took like 5 minutes to come up with. I mean, yeah, I totally agree with that. I totally understand.
It was a solid match. Very solid match. I wasn't disappointed. Just the ending was a little wonky to me.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was very well done. In fact, I would say it's probably one of the better matches on the show.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. You know. Now we go to what we were afraid would happen, but did happen. It's time for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships, where The Miz and Shane defeat The Bar.
I'm just so happy The Miz's dad's proud of him now.
Yes, because, patching up that father-son relationship was so incredibly important.
Oh, and it was so critical, too. If you watch Miz's Miss, yeah, they have so many issues not... That was so dumb. I'm sorry, Ryan. I think I interrupted you, and you're getting ready to say something there on that. Out the gate.
To me, it was the least surprising outcome on the whole card.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You saw it coming like a parade.
Yeah. And now the question is, where do they go from here? Because they have the Usos coming up at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, they're going to have to be in the Uso Penitentiary.
That's right. They are. Which, by the way, today, I believe on Twitter, I saw a young lady had posted that she was working out, and her shirt said OSU 3 times. But in my stupid mind, because it was backwards, I'm like, that's a weird Uso shirt. Oh, never mind. That's OSU. It's backwards in the mirror. Never mind. I'm sorry. I'm a wrestling nerd.
That happens.
Let's go to the Raw Women's Championship. We have Ronda Rousey defeating Sasha Banks.
I think we probably have a clean sweep that one.
Yeah, I think so. But the match itself was actually not bad. It was pretty good.
It was decent.
You know,
Sasha carried her.
Yeah, of course. And at the viewing party that I was at, I am glad that everybody also agrees with me that maybe Ronda needs to get a new top.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have any type of wardrobe malfunction.
And what really upset me though with the match is they go through it. Sasha leaves, she's upset, and she throws the four in Ronda's face, and they're not doing anything with it.
Right, yeah. I forgot that even happened.
I even read that they said they're not going to do anything with it. Then why even do that?
Yeah.
So maybe there's, legit heat or something there, but I'm kind of upset that they did that as a tease, because when they did it, I kind of got out of my seat. I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, I got excited. And then the next day, and I read, yeah, they're doing nothing with that. So.
Right, and now somehow Banks got injured. Somewhere along the line, because I just was checking out some wrestling news before you guys came over to record this episode, and it claims that Banks is injured, but they believe she will be ready to go for Elimination Chamber. But
she wrestled with Bayley.
Well, but they said the reason was she was very limited in that tag match
Bayley
on Monday.
Bayley did most work.
Yeah, but I don't know where that injury occurred.
It's tough to tell. Rhonda's getting better, but she's still sloppy at times.
Yeah, indeed she is. Indeed
she may be sloppy. But she's not the train wreck that Nia Jax is.
No, we'll get to that in a minute.
I got a statistic for you. Nia Jax, in 395 career matches, has injured 10 people.
Holy fuck.
Wow.
Jesus.
In 695 matches, Seth Rollins has injured 3.
Jesus.
Twice as many matches, a third of the injuries.
We need something to drop in there. We need a button where it's like, Rand Statter have a crazy... Listen, the pizza place, we can get the pizza place on board, they can sponsor Rand Sat of the Night.
Oh, there you go.
Fact
all
delivery.
Right.
Fact delivery. Oh. And he gave it to you in 30 minutes or less on the podcast, so how about that?
Love it.
Pepperoni and sausage, by the way.
There you go.
Well, you know, and I agree. I know DJ Joey Blaze, you tweeted it out, and I totally agree. Stop smiling, Ronda Rousey. Stop smiling.
Well, she's kind of not because she's getting booed. She has nothing to smile about. They booed the shit out of her on Raw, and I popped for that. She didn't know what to think, and I'm like, sweet, thank God, because the crowd's turned on her because they know.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
And it's probably all got annoying to them.
While we're talking about the ladies, before we move into the women's Royal Rumble match, here's a couple of other random things. Since we're talking about some of these random things.
The random stat of the night. I like it.
Large pepperoni and sausage.
We're just brainstorming left and right here. I like it. There you go. Okay, so we have the tag team titles coming up, the ladies. It seems that on SmackDown, you can just say, hey, I'd like to shoot for that title, and you're in the match. But yet on Raw, you have to win in order to get
in the
match.
Because they have actual tag teams, though, on Raw. Like, there's thought put into it. SmackDown, they just threw Carmella and
Naomi
together. What, are they going to be the Nice Ass Express? I don't know. Like, I don't understand it.
Dancing girls?
There's no, that's a common thing between them, you know, and it's oh my God, I don't understand it, but I totally agree.
Nikki Cross and Alicia Fox, that was a thrown together tag.
But it makes sense.
You want to play
silly.
With Nikki?
Yeah.
But they're crazy, they're insane, so whatever.
Alicia Fox, by the way, does the worst crazy gimmick I've ever fucking seen.
But she's legit crazy, ask Wade Barrett.
Well, let me get him on the horn. Hold on.
Stu, what up? Johnny O.
I think there's only two actual tag teams.
Yeah.
The Iconics.
The Iconics, DeVille and Mandy Rose.
Well,
three.
Awesome. I was thinking of two-person tag teams, and the other, because they've been doing it so long, is Bayley and Boss.
And Tamina and Nia are a team.
Who's she going to injure in this match?
She didn't know. Wouldn't it be ironic if it was Tamina? Here's my other...
Yeah, there's two people that are both dangerous.
Very.
You don't have any stats on Tamina?
They should be called the Loose Pipes.
Here's a stat. Tamina's dad once killed somebody.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Legal
department is yelling allegedly.
Allegedly.
The white Bronco.
Allegedly.
How about this? How about the stupid Dana Brooke-Natalya feud? This feud is the most ridiculously set up feud. You mean to tell me you wouldn't go, hey, you wouldn't shake her and be like, hey, and she's, because she has the earbuds in? That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Tap her on the shoulder.
Yeah.
We're in an era now where I see people talking in grocery stores and there's nobody around because we have things in our ears.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to be a Dana Brooke fan.
But you're not anymore?
Mainly because being from Northern Ohio.
Right, sure.
And she's had some rough things going on with her, and she's pretty. And
Yeah.
But I can't. She can't work.
No. She's,
I mean,
not,
I'm
very
sorry,
good.
Dana. Like, I've tried, but like, it's just not working. You're not fitting in with this stuff. You need a gimmick overhaul or something, or you need to. Can I go down NXT? Like, you need to kind of. It just, something is not clicking with what you got going on.
Right.
They tried to give her that Alexander York
gimmick. Yeah.
Gimmick from Titus Worldwide.
It was terrible because it was Titus Worldwide. Put her with a heel tag team. Then it'll do something. Like, I would like to see that gimmick with, like, something like the Revival. Like, I think it would be a little bit cooler. It would make more sense because you have an actual heel tag team. You have two guys with these big smiles. They should be the Ronda Rousey guys because they're smiling just like her coming out the ring. It didn't make sense. But if in that gimmick with the right tag team, it makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe she'd fit in better with heavy equipment.
The heavy machinery.
Heavy machinery.
Well,
heavy equipment's what I call my undercarriage.
Well.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
There's your legal team down there. What are they called again?
The law firm of Sits, Waits, and Doolittle.
There you go. All right. Becky Lynch is your victor in the 30-woman Royal Rumble match, which I liked. I liked this. I thought this was great. You have Lana out there, even though, again, logically, it's like, you know she's hurt. Why would she logically even try to compete? But the switch out I thought was great, fantastic. And then you should have just stopped, because the second time you did it, it's not as cool, and it's stupid and lazy.
And you lose your surprise.
Thank you.
The women's match took 71 minutes.
Yeah.
Part of the problem for the length, because they didn't take into account that they were at a baseball field, and they have a long walkway to and from.
And if you notice, too, the countdown doesn't start till they got to the ring. They did. It didn't start with the, you know, announcement of, you know, there's the buzzer. It starts once they get to the ring, so that also elongated things.
So we spent over an hour on one women's match that didn't include a couple of the top workers in the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think there was any real surprises of who was in the entries. I mean, NXT.
Well, yeah, some of the NXT ones were a little bit surprising. I mean, DJ Joey Blaze, what'd you think?
Well, a couple things. That's a $5 word you just hit us with, elongated.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good Scrabble word, probably.
Thank you. Yeah.
I actually enjoyed the women's one way more than the men's.
Yep.
That's the one. That's my biggest takeaway from it. There weren't big name surprises, but there were girls that can go surprises. Like, Bridget actually sat down and watched the women's one with me, and we both agree we like Kairi Sane, we hate the gimmick. She can go. She's cool. She does some crazy stuff. The little gymnast girl is insane.
Oh, Casey Canestrero? Yeah.
Who, by the way, won American Ninja Warriors.
You are full of random facts.
Yes. Now, I will say, every once in a while when somebody does the land over the top, but only on one foot,
yeah,
sometimes that's okay. But I think we've gotten carried away.
Yeah, I think we've gotten a little bit carried away with that,
too. I do think it was kind of cool how she got herself back into the ring around the post. But Naomi onto the barrier, to me, that was just was John Morrison 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Kofi's done it a couple of times. I think if you do it once in a while, it's a cool effect. But if you have it in both the men's and the women's, it loses a lot of luster.
Oh, yeah.
I think there have been some more creative ways they could have done it. But back to the surprise, like, I liked seeing the former NXT UK champion in it. And I liked the heat that's been created online between her and Mick Foley. I don't know if you caught the tweets going back and forth between them.
No.
Where I think she took Foley wrong on some stuff. And it's an interesting exchange. You get a chance to look it up on Twitter.
But they had Io Shirai, or I can never say her name, but she was in it. Who was the other Chinese lady that was also in the Mae Young Classic? Xi Ping wasn't in it.
Rand is a fluent Mandarin, so he's going to.
Chai Li. She went in number 11. Didn't last very long, but Kai Li.
Kai Li. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, Alexa Bliss with limited work. If you notice, she was in it, but she didn't take a ton of bumps. Yeah. And she hasn't worked since, so I think they're slowly working her back into it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would have been cool to see some of the legends from the ladies' legend. But you're right.
We've seen it, but why not see some that we haven't seen?
Right.
Why wasn't Victoria contacted? Why wasn't Robert Irvine's wife contacted?
Gail Kim. Yeah.
I know she doesn't really want anything to do with the WWE, but hey, money talks.
Right.
Like, throw in some women we haven't seen.
Right.
It would have been a nice pop, a nice.
Yeah, feature. It would have been. Most definitely.
I do think it was odd that Becky Lynch took Lana's place. The decision was made by Fit Finley, one Irishman helping another.
I said that at the viewing party. I'm like, hey, he's helping a fellow European. That's not on the up and up.
That's a lot of potatoes being like.
Right no. There. Hey, now. Watch did out. He, Fit Finley will give you a few potatoes.
Did he used to carry Shalali?
Yes.
Okay.
He did, yeah. I thought the women's, I agree with you, Joe. I like
that'd be a great name for like an Irish Asian female wrestler, Shalele.
I think Donnybrooke would be a great name for an Irishman.
Yeah, well, you know.
Anyways, I agree with you. The women's Royal Rumble better than the men's. let's go on into what surprisingly for me I thought was not a very good match. Daniel Bryan holds on to the WWE Championship, defeating AJ Styles. I literally was like, this match is just, it's decent, but it's not what I expected. I'm sorry. I think it was very slow and monotonous and not what I wanted and not what I expected. I was kind of bored with it.
But that kind of plays to the new Daniel Bryan's character. And I think that's kind of where it comes from. But I think you getting invested in the match, if the crowd, the live crowd's invested, and they weren't either.
No.
And I think they were tired.
Yes.
And that's the kind of vibe I got from it.
That was 4 or 5 hours into the matches.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a long time.
Yeah. And they went like 24 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a lot of time.
And why would you go that long when you're going to have that type of a schmoz ending? That's what I didn't understand either.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why Eric Rowan is playing the role. There are a lot of different people they could have gotten. Are they going to give him a bunch of backwoods people?
See, that's what I'm thinking. I want to know, and I really would, I haven't found it online or have researched it. What's Luke Harper's status? He's still injured, but is he any ways
near coming back? He's been working out at the facility.
At the facility. Because I think it would be cool is if Harper would join and they could be like the, you know, environmentally friendly, you know, people that live, you know, not in the suburbs, but out in the woods and that, and kind of, you know.
Well, all this is the right to censor 2019.
No, it is. You're right.
Because that was the button pushing thing back then. You know, get now this whole gimmick, people hate me and told what, and I love the gimmick.
I do too.
In some ways, Daniel Bryan's making fun of himself.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways he is.
Oh, sure. I think he's going to have the title for a long time. Because they just got done whittling that new title belt.
I popped for that. That was hilarious.
Oh, it's so funny.
I mean, the hemp-produced WWE title. Oh, God, that's hilarious.
Fully sustainable.
Yeah.
Van Damme should come in and try to take it from him, probably. on April 20th.
Hey, I'm just telling you, as I saw on Twitter, if there's one person that's good with joint manipulation... it's Rob Van Dam.
Ba-bum-bum.
There you go. Yeah, so this match, I agree with you. I think the crowd was out of it. It's not what I wanted to see. I wanted to see something a little more up-tempo. I don't know. It was a snooze fest for me. Ran?
I think it was under what the two of them could have done. Yeah. But I think it also goes along with Dan O'Brien's character.
Gotcha. All right, let's go with the next match, which is for the WWE Universal Championship. Brock Lesnar defeating Finn Balor by submission.
Well, to paraphrase Johnny Cochran, no pain on Finn, no chance to win. We talked about what could happen, and I honestly said if he comes out as a demon, he's got a good chance.
Do you know what I said? When he come out, I go, his gear looks like he's a 1980s jobber. Like seriously, like this is WCW Saturday Night. He is like the jobber that I've never heard of that's going to get squashed in 3 minutes to Harlem Heat. Like seriously, did his gear not look ridiculously
maybe
dumb?
Maybe he's a lost Cole brother. Maybe that's what's going on there. But I'm going to tell you right now, Surprising is a decent match.
Yeah, it was not a bad match.
What's crazy is it was a better match, in my opinion, and how I enjoyed the show than Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles.
I agree, too.
And that really surprised me.
I think the most interesting spot was when Finn pushed Brock against the table, the corner of the table.
Yeah. And that's
been there forever, and we've never seen anybody take a shot to the lower midsection on the corner of the table like that.
And it looked legit, and it was...
It looked good. It looked like,
And it played off his previous injuries that he's had. So,
right, yeah. So then
it gave him a chance.
It gave Finn a moment of hope, so you can keep rooting for the underdog.
Mm-hmm. But, I thought this match was really good. And it's 8 minutes.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it was short.
It told a story.
Right.
And then got through it, and boom, and everybody was happy.
Yes,
and I think agree. They could have done the same with the previous match. 10 minutes. Daniel Bryan, you guys got 10 minutes, go out and do your stuff. Boom, we're going to have a schmoz ending like that. You got 10 minutes to just shave 10 minutes off the pay-per-view.
There you go. I agree. Any other thoughts, Rand, on Lesnar v. Balor?
It was getting late in the night.
Yeah.
I mean, starting these matches, it's 5:30.
This one, I believe, started at 10:45-ish.
Yeah. Right.
Somewhere around there. And you're like, Jesus, we still have at least an hour to go with the... Yeah, so I mean... I don't know. Hey, DJ Joey Blaze, I know you love Funko Pops. I know you have a ton of them, correct?
A ton, yeah. Maybe 2 tons.
Maybe
it's
2 tons. Yeah.
It's insane.
You know, one of the great places here in town in Westerville, Ohio, where you can get your hands on some Funko Pops?
Where would that be?
That would be, of course, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville. And as Joey has told you, They got Funko Pops, but they got more than just that. They got comic book supplies, they got comic books, graphic novels, trade paperbacks, all types of collectibles. So if you're interested, all you got to do is swing on by the store at 5992 Westerville Road.
I've actually picked up some Marvel Legends figures there.
There you go. And how was the experience?
It was wonderful.
There you go.
They're knowledgeable, helpful. They took care of me.
There you go. So stop on by the store and say hi to Jeff or the other guys that are working down there. Or you could check them out also online at WGComics.com. And they're also on Facebook, by the way. Facebook.com/WGComics. Okay, anyways, our final match here is, of course, the Men's Royal Rumble. And look, it was cool to do the switcheroo in the first Royal Rumble match. But this one was goddamn stupid.
Well, it was... what was stupid was from the beginning... When you have number one and two.
Yes.
And I popped for Jarrett. I, you know, J-E-double-F. Like, I was all excited. I was saying it. And then, what, all of a sudden, Elias the heel again?
Right, which I don't and get he's that. Getting
monumental pops at these places. We're bringing Jarrett back, so we might as well make Elias a heel.
Okay, Jeff Jarrett works a long time, has an IC title. His contract is up. They pay him a lot of money to give the title to China. Which he didn't want to do.
Back in the day, what, 95?
He leaves.
96? When did that happen?
His first match on Raw in 20 years.
Yeah.
So he leaves, starts his own company. Company has ups and downs, so forth. So I'm thinking, in the year 2035, Cody Rhodes is going to return to Monday Night Raw.
Because he's following the Jarrett plan to success.
Yeah.
There you go. Makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
We literally, instead of taking the direct route for you in Columbus, Ohio, you can get, you know, take 315 or 70. Rand literally took 270 to get from one side of town to the other. There on you that go. One. So,
now, anyways, well done.
You're right about Elias. And I think it's great to have him come out and start.
Yeah, that was really well done. And yeah. and the nostalgia factor was great.
He had a moment. He was able to get... He made comments about Arizona. He had heat. And then to bring Jarrett out, who we haven't seen in 20 years, he could have been a face. He could have not disrupted Elias's heat. For some reason, Road Dogg came back as well, kind of singing. He forgot the words to his own song.
I think that was a work anyways. I think that's kind of the part of the gimmick.
Well, and then let's be honest, this feud has bled on over into Raw, which... I've enjoyed it, especially this past week when Elias asked something about Road Dogg. Why aren't you over on SmackDown killing their ratings? I thought that was hilarious.
He is, and that's the thing. Elias is great on the mic. He's top three on the mic right now.
Yeah, I agree.
There, and it's funny, and I want to see the "Don't Piss Me Off" T-shirt. Where's that at?
Yeah,
bring that back. You bring Jarrett back. Bring back the "Don't Piss Me Off." That's great.
No.
But, so they're one and two.
Right.
Angle came in four. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Okay.
That was supposed to be Zack Ryder's spot, from what I heard.
Really?
Why do they keep doing this to poor Zack Ryder? What did he do to somebody?
I don't know. He's, you know, and there were some...
he's been there over 13 years.
No. Never been in, has he?
Oh, I'm sure
he's... He's been in the Rumble.
Maybe it's Kurt Hawkins that's never been in.
I think Hawkins has never been in, but, you know, and let's be honest... There was also some random people that I totally forgot would be in it. Like Jinder Mahal. I'm like, oh yeah, he probably would be in the role. Like, I didn't, until he started coming down the entranceway, I'm like, oh yeah, you know.
We hadn't seen No Way Jose in weeks.
Yes!
And we barely saw him in the Rumble.
He went That's in 15 true. And out 10, so he wasn't in very long.
I popped for Gargano, of course. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. That was very cool. And that was cool, I guess, go back to women's too, because his wife was in the women's one, and... shout out, man. Definitely been a big fan for years, so that was very cool to see. But the surprises overall in the men's, too, like they could have done some more, in my opinion. Because there's, unlike the women, you have a ton of different things you can do for surprises. I thought having Lawler and Bradshaw at ringside, one of them was going to be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Lawler left the table 1 year.
So did Bradshaw. He walked in and got clotheslined right back out, put his hat back on, I think, and finished commentating.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Cole was in it 1 year.
Michael Cole was in it one time.
So I thought that, but I thought there could have been, like we know my big prediction didn't happen, but and then perfect to drop Hogan in there. What would it have hurt? Come in, throw a few punches, but in there 5 minutes, and then he gets ceremoniously thrown out. I think they're going to get some cool stuff, but they dropped the ball on something. It was nice to see the young hands be a part of it, though.
Yeah, so. Yeah, because Aleister Black was in it as well.
We had some people come in out of nowhere, like Shelton Benjamin.
Yes, Shelton Benjamin.
That was strange.
That was a very random one. I forgot. He was another one like Jinder Mahal that I forgot it's on the roster. I'm like,
Yeah.
Titus O'Neil made it in correctly.
Very true.
Very true, yeah.
And they made fun of his...
World's greatest Royal Rumble snafu.
Ziggler was kind of a surprise with all the talk that's been going on
about him. Yeah, yeah.
And for him to have the show, he had a strong showing in it.
Yep. Yeah.
Which he should and he deserves, but.
So let's talk about the switcheroo, R-Truth. No, did not make it into the Royal Rumble because Nia Jax attacked him. Okay. I had
injured him.
And unfortunately injured him, yes, with a couple of what? Lacerations in the face and kind of stoved up a shoulder, right?
I think it was face and ankle.
Or ankle maybe stoved up. Okay. Here's my two problems I have with this. One. Okay, you just did this in the other Royal Rumble, so there's no surprise factor. Correct. Two, what's her motivation? Why is Nia Jax entering the men's Royal Rumble? Like, that doesn't... Why? That didn't make any sense to me.
Had she ever had an intergender match before?
No.
And they haven't done anything with it since, really. I mean, they could have done intergender match. I don't know. I don't understand. They have a whole women's revolution. They have a whole women's thing. Just... Why even cross that?
Right. And here's my thing, too. You know, the next day, I know that there was a particular tweet that circulated around about somebody who felt like that was inappropriate and their young kids were watching and yada, yada, yada. Okay. Well, look, I'm just going to say it. Be a parent then. If your kid is watching wrestling, you better have had that talk with them before the Royal Rumble go, hey, this is a work. All right.
Right.
Because, this is entertainment.
Yeah. This is entertainment. This is a work. You know, I don't, and it's not like they, you know, used a staple gun on Nia Jax and threw her through a plate glass window after they set her on fire.
That would be cool, though.
She volunteered to go into this. I saw a tweet that said it's not right for a man to attack a woman. Well, she attacked a man to get in.
Right.
Volunteered to go into the match.
Right. And again, it's all a work. So I don't know why everybody was up in arms, but you're right. They haven't done anything with it. It's just been, it's just some random surprise thing that nobody seems to care about.
Did she eliminate anybody?
Ooh, good question.
Because I know the other years, all of the women...
She eliminated Mustafa Ali, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember. I got to be honest. I'm not the one that
wrote everything down and brought the stats.
Well, apparently I'm not the one who wrote everything down either, or I would have known that.
You were so shocked that she was in it, you totally just blanked out. That, just be honest, Rand. You were like, oh my God.
I'm going to blame my research staff.
Yeah, they're slacking on this one.
Okay, so
Mustafa Ali left number 23, so there's a good chance.
Yeah, it was probably because she was 28. Wasn't she?
30.
No, she was 30. That's right. It was Becky Lynch that was 28.
That match lasted 58 minutes, which is virtually an hour.
But they came in every minute and a half.
Part of it is, they wound up speeding that up.
Yeah, they did. This one was much more noticeable that there was 90 seconds.
Originally, it was 2 minutes years ago.
Years ago.
1 year was like 30 seconds or 45.
There were times they've been behind.
Yeah.
One thing I did not know, and I read a fascinating article that weekend from a... CBS station out in St. Louis, Missouri, there was a Royal Rumble before the one on USA Network. There was a 12-man Royal Rumble. They tried it out in like 87, I believe. It was 12-man, one-man gang won.
Right.
So, and apparently Vince still hated the idea, but they went with it anyways because Dick Ebersole liked the idea. And so
Dick Ebersole wanted a different type of match.
Right, and he's writing the checks, so hey, man. So overall, I didn't really dig the Royal Rumble. I was... quite frankly, disappointed in it. Your thoughts, guys, overall?
I think I would have enjoyed it if it had had one or two less matches. Mm-hmm. Would have been a reasonable length of time.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody who hits a snooze button at 5:30 in the morning, that's pretty late.
I was heavily disappointed myself. Length, yes. The match, because Royal Rumble is usually, it's pretty neck and neck with Mania as my favorite pay-per-view.
Yeah, right.
And I was very disappointed with the overall show, with the length. And then I was very disappointed with most women are disappointed with me with that, too. But but I was with the actual Rumble match. And it was just booked poorly. The names in the match, and just overall.
And like, it's kind of predictable.
That used to be, it was very predictable. We all predicted Rollins and wham, boomaloom, bam.
There he is.
Who won it? You know, so.
Even though he won at number 10, it wasn't a surprise.
No. And, yeah, and everybody thought that. So what, you know, should have got back, let's give somebody else it, then maybe he can win it at the Elimination Chamber, win that title match from somebody.
Yeah, right, right.
So, make it entertaining.
And I think they are doing a decent job, though, of building Lesnar and Rollins. I think they're doing a decent job of that build for WrestleMania. So I'm not too, you know, I'm not too upset about that. But
how fired up are you for that match?
I'm not. I'm not super excited for it. I got to be honest.
You know, I have no excitement for that match. But I guess I'm not the fan that they're going after.
Sure,
but,
sure. You know, well. I'm going to also say, too, that I was somewhat disappointed with NXT TakeOver as well.
Really?
Yes, I was. I was... Well, okay, I'll just be honest. I felt that a lot of the matches just kind of... I don't know. There's just something
wasn't there. Ricochet was a solid match.
I don't... No, I'm going to disagree. Joey, I'm sorry. It was that super indie style that I just couldn't get emotionally invested in. Because, I'm sorry, you get dropped on your head on the floor with the reverse Rana... You know, impact DDT in the ring, and then 1-2, and you kick out. I hate that shit. I hate that shit. I'm sorry. I'm an old man. You can do
when you go to that type of stuff, remember, and I know I brought up on the podcast before, there's a match between Shane Douglas and Pitbull number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Shane hit him with everything. He hit him with a chain. He hit him, he hit him with, like, I don't know, maybe a car door. Just like, he beat the living shit out of him. But what did he beat him with? The belly to belly.
Yeah, I know. Right? I know.
Did Shane have a name for the belly to belly?
No.
Shane Douglas called it. I don't know.
It was the belly to belly suplex. Look, I thought the tag match was great. I really liked the opener of the tag match was good.
It was a very good match.
With War Raiders winning and going over.
I wasn't fond of the women's match.
No, I thought the women's match was...
But we talked about that before the show.
I know. Like, who was the heel and who was the face? Like, there was no... Like, that match sucked. Matt Riddle and Cassius Ohno was not very good, and if I heard Original Bro one more goddamn time, I was going to throw the remote at the TV. Stop saying bro.
Bro.
Bro. Jesus. If you played a drinking game, you would be hammered within like 5 minutes.
I already am right now. So.
Well, I thought Ciampa and Black was bleh again. I'm just not into Aleister Black, and again, there's... At least I will say this. It wasn't... super indie as other matches on that show.
So then what did you think of Halftime Heat then with those guys?
You know, I didn't watch Halftime Heat. I'm sorry, I didn't watch it. I totally forgot it was even on, and I was in the middle of watching The Wrestler.
With Ed Asner,
Vern Gagne, and Billy Robinson.
Ed Asner was here?
Yes. Ed Asner came over. I checked him out of the Shady Pines retirement home in L.A.
Zach sat here and talked like this the whole time.
You got spunk. I hate spunk.
So, I don't know. What would you think of NXT TakeOver? You liked it, obviously.
I liked it. Not as much as previous ones. I thought it was better than the Rumble.
Okay, yeah, I would say that.
As
yeah.
a show.
Okay.
They steal the show again, and you got all these guys coming up to the main show, so why aren't the buzz at the main show as good? That's the thing that drives me nuts. You call up these guys, and they kill it when they're in NXT. You don't let them do their thing when they're up on the main roster.
Well, I can tell you why. You know, you made reference to it in a joking manner, but did you actually look at applying for that WWE writer's job?
I have not.
It has nothing to do with wrestling. It's about all entertainment. Like, that's all the qualifications. The number one criteria, that you have at least five years experience working in television, film, or other communicational arts.
What about pornography?
Well, it didn't say that specifically. I don't know.
Or snuff films. I have a background in...
I probably
said that out loud, should I?
Wait, sorry, Rand. I can just hear Vince right now. Oh, goddamn, pal. Snuff films, huh?
That's where the money's at. Sign him up.
I have heard that you are very hands-on when it comes to pornography.
Yeah, I take Mr. Miyagi's words of wisdom, wax on. Wax off.
So I think that's part of the problem is that and maybe I'm wrong, and I don't know this for a fact. In NXT, you have people that are, quote, wrestling people.
Finley?
Right. You got those people down there who are wrestling people. They come to the main roster. Now you're dealing with writers who are entertainment people. So I think that that's what I think
you could get a nice blend of the two to work together. Like when Freddie Prinze was there, I thought he did a decent job.
Yes, he did. He did.
But like, I think you got guys. So I would throw, in my opinion, you guys said, which is you need to, you haven't watched the Edge and Christian show.
Okay.
Is I would throw all kinds of money at them too. Look, I want you to write TV for us. Christian's always been great with helping with telling stories and matches.
Sure.
You know, he's always been Captain Christmas, Captain of the False Finish. And I think those guys could do a hell of a job for ratings. Like I mean, you got wrestlers as agents. Why aren't they doing more with the writing team?
I don't know.
Or are they, and they just suck that bad?
I don't know. Rand, do you have any thoughts?
I do not remember his name, but there was a writer who left this week. And he said, "You people don't understand. This is entertainment with some wrestling. Most of what we do is dialogue and stories. And most of the people who criticize it have no idea, and they wouldn't last a week in the writer's room."
Oh, I believe it's high pressure up there and incredibly stressful. I believe it when you're the writer. But I don't know. Again, we'll go back to maybe I'm just too old to get it. But, you know, I think in the territory days, it worked much better when you just said, here's some bullet points. All right. And you had somebody who knew what they were doing, a veteran, running this back area and running things that way. I think it just works.
It worked great for years. That's what Mean Gene Okerlund was so good at doing.
Yeah.
With his interviews.
Yeah.
You don't need to have somebody find somebody else with a woman in a hotel room. You just have a set them up. Most of these interviews, you do the interviews. You don't need these elaborate, overthought vignettes in the back.
Is it the structure and pressure of 3 hours of TV on Monday and 2 hours on Tuesday? Network TV?
But it shouldn't be. They got so much talent. Like, they have so many people that don't get on TV that should be on TV.
And speaking of TV, the rumor is that SmackDown, when it goes to Fox in October, is going to be on Friday nights for a while. Which, I don't know about that. Because, you know, Friday nights are always have been the death knell. For network television.
It is the lowest rated night of the week.
Right, yeah. Because everybody's out and about, you know? So
especially those people who don't work on Saturday. Exactly. Or have school on Saturday.
Exactly. So I'm wondering...
So TGIF is dead, huh?
I had an awful lot of detention on Saturday morning, so I couldn't do those things.
Yeah, but that was 60 years ago, wasn't it?
In dog years.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and see what the ratings are like on
Will it be on Fox or, as I've heard, Fox Sports 1?
Ooh, I thought it was going to be on Fox, period.
I think Raw is going to be on Fox, and I think Smack, they've been juggling everything up with SmackDown on Fox. It's still the redheaded stepchild, and it's sad. It's the better show of the
two. It is.
Is it better because it's only 2 hours and it's not the extended hour, 3 hours?
No, I think it's I think it has a little bit to do with the announce team. I'm done with Michael Cole. I'm sorry. That's a big thing. And I think it has a little bit to do with the talent and the way that they run their angles, in my
opinion. Agreed. I think it's more of the angles. But I also agree with you, Rand. I think it's 2 hours. It makes you get your shit in quicker. You know what I mean?
And only the good stuff makes the show. Right. And there's filler now to be 3 hours. Right. But there is proportionally, there's more wrestlers on Monday night than there are on Tuesday night. So that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. I don't know what the problem is.
It'll be interesting. When does that happen?
October. This October it starts, I believe.
That's soon.
Yes. Wow. So that will be interesting.
They threw a lot of money at him, so it'll be interesting.
Exactly. All right, one last little note here. Talking about the Twitterverse, if you will, The Undertaker's removed all references to the WWE in his tweets. What does that tell you?
Is he going to AEW?
I think from now on, anybody who doesn't have a deal for more than 2 months is going to be rumored going to AEW.
Oh, I agree.
Well, they already said there's going to be a surprise tomorrow at the when they announce the tickets at the pool party. There's going to be a surprise former WWE talent they're going to say is signed.
Yeah, I think that I agree with you, Rand. I think I'm sure The Undertaker has some other reason, you know, that he's doing.
Oh, I agree.
He's removing that. I'm sure.
Maybe
he's just
laying low.
He's laying low.
He might just be messing with people too, because he recently took pictures in front of the Impact sign.
Yes, exactly.
There's no way they would do that.
No, so I think it's just a joke or a rib or whatnot. But I agree with you. I think anytime you're going to get any ounce of somebody going, you know what, I don't think I'm going to, you know, renew my contract or whatever, immediately AEW is going to pop
up. Or anybody who's not on TV for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, gentlemen, we're getting up there to our time limit there. So, shall we start wrapping things up here real quick? Anything else, Rand, that you want to throw in there?
This is not a 7-hour podcast.
No, it's not. No, it is not.
Whatever happened to the wrestling hotlines?
Wrestling hotlines?
Yeah. Let's bring them back.
Because no one has a landline, Joe. That's why.
They don't?
No. No, who has a landline?
My butler.
I have a rotary one.
Do you?
Then I have a red one that glows when people need to get a hold of
me. All right. Well, DJ Joe Blaze, tell folks where they can find you on the interwebs.
Well, you can find me most Saturday nights at Adobe Gila's at Easton.
There you go.
Maybe they might want to... That's the only freebie I'm throwing out for them. Maybe they might want to hop on. I'm all about selling ad space. You can find me at Twitter and on Instagram at DJ Joey Blaze. Also, quick plug, I'm going to have a table March 17th at the Toy Show where we'll be selling some of those Funko Pops.
Is that at the Lausch building down there on 17th?
Yes.
All right.
They're doing that.
Fairgrounds. All right.
If there's anybody out there that listens to podcasts, stop on by and shake my hand and give me some money.
That is when again? February?
March 17th.
It's March 17th. March 17th. I thought you said February 17th.
Okay. I might have. I'm old.
Rand?
I heard you. You said March 17th.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay,
and I'm older.
Rand, you want to tell people where they can find you?
Twitter at Rand Dittmar.
There you go. All right, gentlemen. It's been fun.
It was always an enjoyable time.
There you go. There you go. We'll do it again here because, as you know, we're on the road to WrestleMania.
Woo-woo.
So we'll have to get together and make sure.
Get your ass together back there catering. Okay. Oh, was that on there?
I haven't wrapped
I'm
yet.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We're not going to have catering. We're going
to
have pizza.
When you run for office, I'll just hold on to that little sound clip. It can be used to blackmail you.
That's right. We'll have pizzas next time. Hear that? You're out of job, Eduardo.
All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and yours truly talking about the Royal Rumble and the subsequent storylines that are going on right now in the WWE. So feel free to let me know if you agree with some of my opinions or not, or the opinions of my guests, and you can do that a couple different ways. First of all, you can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook page, that of course being facebook.com/PVDcast. And maybe you want to tell somebody about this great podcast. Well, let them know that they can get their hands on this podcast a variety of different ways. Probably the easiest way is just to go over and download it from PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But you can also find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play, Spotify, Echo Network, the Libsyn Podcast Player. Oh, heck, just wherever you get podcasts from, if you just want to search PVDcast, sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando. It's probably going to be there. So just whatever you do, just let some folks know about this great podcast. And as a matter of fact, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that today's podcast also has a second sponsor, and that, of course, is Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. They have 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. So to download your free audiobook today, just go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank each and every one of you for listening, for checking out this great episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Until then, stay righteous, stay independent.